And welcome back. I hope you had a good break. This week, my guest is Colin Holt. He is the genius behind Anna-Man, the character you may have heard last week. And he has done lots of Edinburgh shows, including several with his character Anna-Man, and also some with his former double act partner, Fergus Craig. And he's been on lots of TV, Harry Hill's TV Burp, Russell Howard's Good News, Being Human, Life is Short, and hopefully something very exciting to come with Anna-Man. So watch this space. He came in to talk to me, and first of all, we talked about how much more focused with your time you have to be when you have small children.
I have to go, yeah, this hour is working on this thing, and I can't look at anything else.
And I'm not going to be
Because it's got to be done then, or it's not getting done at all.
It doesn't mean that it's necessarily better. You know, I could spend that hour doing it. Exactly.
It just gets
done. It's finished. Yeah, it's done. But it's not necessarily... Yeah. Mm. I'm so much more productive in that way.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know whether that's just growing up.
Partly. And I mean, I live in terror, financial terror, constantly.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting. It really is like, it's like a resurgence of doing Edinburgh or something, like when we were, whatever we were, late 20s and stuff. Yeah. And it's because it's suddenly
I was late 40s.
Yes, of course, when what are you now, 70?
Almost.
But I got to a point recently where we were literally like fucking rock bottom.
Yeah.
Just because the amount we owed and the amount that was coming in, the ratio just fell apart.
Yeah.
Was definitely the wrong way round in that sense. And there was a moment I just went, shit, what do I do? What do I do? And I genuinely sat down, like, not to make myself sound like a hero, but I sat down and rolled my sleeves up, literally, and went, right, I need to make money. And by the end, like, we couldn't pay the rent. And I'm 38 or whatever I was then.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was last year, 39. But anyway, rolled my sleeves up, sat down and just fucking got in touch with everyone.
Yeah.
I knew, and then by the end of the day, had the money. I don't mean I begged.
Right.
I mean,
as I said,
do you want me to work on this? Have you got any work
in this? You're not like, give me money.
No. Basically, it was directing people, and there was a few jobs I kind of knew people were doing, and I'd got the money there.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. And then I just thought, fuck, if I'd done this all my life, who knows? But I think I'd be, I don't know if I'd be further on, but I'd definitely be, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that's only because I've got the family.
You've actually got to provide.
You know.
It's interesting because there's lots of stuff been written and talked about recently about the kind of other side of acting and performing, and the fact that actually most people, you can't make a living doing this all the time.
You mean like with the EastEnders actress.
Yes. Yeah. That's what sparked it, wasn't it? And there've been quite a few articles written, and
sometimes you think this is insane to be a breadwinner, or, you know, providing for family from doing something which is utterly fickle
and
random,
subjective. And
and, you know, you might not get any money.
Yeah.
You might get all the money.
Well, that's what's exciting about
famine or feast.
But that's what's exciting. I think that's the thing, isn't it? That where there's always a job round the corner that could just completely sort everything out.
Kind of. It was one of the first times in my life I think I've really felt like I have actively got him. I've always sort of felt a bit carried along with stuff. You know, I've tried stuff out. People have liked it.
Yeah.
Some people have liked it, and then that's got me this, and then that. And I've just sort of, you know, I mean, I've loads of times I've been like, why am I not famous and all this stuff, but you know, which I don't have any of that anymore.
I'm very happy.
Yeah. That's where I am. But like, I am, but that was, I think, the first time I'd actively just taken, you know, the bull by the horns of my career and sort of gone,
And that's the difference between having kids and not having kids.
I think so, yeah. Agree, and I think it comes, like, we're just talking about, we're meant to be talking about parents, aren't we? But I think with me, it comes from, like, the imposter syndrome, like a lot of people.
Mm-mm.
And this was a sort of, like, the imposter syndrome has to go away now.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not serving me.
I'm going banging on that. I might have talked about this before, I don't know. But from this, through grieving, I've got, like, this technique I've sort of developed myself.
Yeah.
With a room in my mind, like an office room where I can go in.
Yeah.
And chat to, sometimes it's like a grieving thing, as in it's people you've lost. And,
yeah.
But sometimes it's like Barack Obama.
Right.
And like, it's often filled with the Democratic candidates for 2020. Pete Buttigieg's there.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren.
and you talk to them.
I talk to them and they kind of set up the situation I'm in. You know, Barack Obama's normally there with a sort of, and he's got like a kind of
flip chart
that you get from like Ryman's.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let's, okay, so what is the situation? Is this? Okay, so what do we need to do about that? What do we need
that
to do about
that? That is an
incredible
idea.
Good. It's through doing loads of meditation. Like, you have to kind of get into a.
It's also essentially it's visualization.
Yeah.
It's going, I remember.
But it's looking for advice from people who seem to have it together.
Yeah.
But then there is
that's
the voice
a very
of,
key technique in visualization, which is like, imagine somebody doing that well and emulate that person, or imagine what that person or how that person would tell you how to do it.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
Then
yeah,
you,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, and breaking it down together sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then the voice of, you know, which is the person who is the opposite of that, who in my life, who brings me, you know, I have to sort of ask them to leave.
Yeah.
And it's really visually strong.
Doing that. Yeah.
For me, just say visually strong to sort of show them the door. And it's like,
yeah.
But I feel like with parenting, that is, I mean, my wife does a lot of visualization stuff as well. And I think it is, she does a thing of just like 5 minutes, okay? Just got to get through the next 5 minutes, get to this point.
Right,
the next 5 minutes,
get
to that point. Get to me.
Do you find, do you find that being a parent has kind of heightened that anxiety, or kind of like it's just got to find its place, or you've had to find a way to work through it?
It heightened it. And then I've reached a point, partly because I'm in quite a good place with work at the minute, but I'm having a mint.
Really chewy.
It's reached the point, but I think it heightened it big time, but then through the heightening of it has forced me to do these things, and now I'm just able to go, well, you know, it's got to happen, so it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't mean as in big things, I just mean we have to have...
We have to find a way of working through this, because we can't just...
Yeah, and like now, you know, we still rent a flat, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Great flat, so I don't want to kind of go to a less good place.
Yeah,
So I'm not renting. But also, you know, I couldn't really, right now, couldn't get a house. I feel like we're getting there, but it's like, but we're quite happy. But then at the same time, we're like, oh, my daughter's, you know, in 4 years, she'll be nine.
Yeah.
And she's in a room with my son.
Yeah.
And she's not going to want that. At nine, so we got to have a house.
Right,
so it's now like, but that's great, because then that's made me go, okay, so I need to get, for example, like Anna Mann, my character, needs to have her own show that goes to the Apollo. And stuff like that, you know, or becomes a big corporate thing and all that, which is getting there, you know, but it's like, or I need to finish that thing and it needs to do well. It's not just like dreams and vague ideas and sort of like,
I do,
you know.
I do wonder whether some of it is like slightly growing up in the way that, I can't remember who I was talking to about this recently, where I sort of feel like sort of one thing that you're definitely like, you're kind of thinking, well, I would definitely was like this, where it was very much like quite happy-go-lucky and kind of roll with what's going on, and opportunities come and you kind of go, yeah, I could do that, and let's, you know, and I kind of... The things that come my way, I either take those opportunities or I don't, but I kind of, I take what's thrown at me rather than defining my future. And having children has helped me go, like you're saying, right, in 4 years' time, we need to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore, I need to do this. And it's made me actually...
Is this going to help me, or is this...
Yeah,
you know.
And also actively choose, you know, to sort of go, you know, I did... again, I've got to be careful about saying this because, anyway, I don't know if they'll listen, but you know, I did loads of stuff at Radio 4 and I kept going back because it was just cozy and, you know, if you're offered work, you don't say no.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't in any way getting me anywhere. It wasn't like taking me to where I wanted to be. Mm. It was more time in an office rather than mostly what I do, which is kind of less time because I just go and record something and then I bring it home and I edit it at night when the kids are in bed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I was having to do like an old-fashioned working day. I was like, why? Like, I'm doing this because I've been asked to do it. And it's nice because I really like those people and I like seeing
them. Yeah.
But actually, it doesn't fit my life anymore.
My mom would like, oh, you can't turn down work.
I know.
Oh, you can't say no to him. But you can.
But you can. And actually, and if you want to shape that future, that's sometimes what you need to do in order to give yourself the more time to and scope to kind of build something new rather than just keep doing the same kind of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, funny, isn't it? Well, yeah. I mean, like, I've always wanted to be in the RSC and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and then
I
got a casting the other day, and I just decided to turn it down because it would be being away for a year from my kids.
Yeah.
So emotionally, it would be, and my wife, you know. But and also like, but also just probably most likely, I don't think the money would
cut it.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't find out because I didn't want to have that time away. But it's like, I can't make those choices, you know. So funnily enough, when Lucy was born, I did a play. It was the first play I'd done for ages. And I'd always kind of wanted to do that. Comedy was almost like, I'll do comedy then. But really, I want to be Hamlet or whatever. And it was great, but it really affected things quite seriously, quite badly, you know.
Was it
tiny.
She was really tiny.
It was only in London, you know. I live in Brighton, so it was not crazy, but it was still. It was one of those as well. The director's like, right, I want everyone in at 9 o'clock doing circuits. Oh. It was one of those, and you're like, I've got this bait, and she didn't sleep at all.
Right.
So it was just horrendous. Do you know what I mean? And it was really.
So you were away all day, all night, kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
God.
And it was horrible. And she was like walking up and down for 2 hours to get her to sleep, kind of thing, or longer, you know, and then you'd still be with her and bless her, you know. And it was like, so then I just had to go, I can't do plays.
Yeah.
And it was weird as that door kind of closed. I mean, I met probably Can in like 2 years or 3 years or something. Yeah. But as that door closed, it was like,
and also
a real
a play that's
stop worrying about that.
Yeah,
you know?
and a play in a normal world where you're actually only having to turn up at like 6
for the evening. Yeah, but you still have to do the. It depends, you know, because if you're away on a big.
Well, you have to do the rehearsing, but like once you're in the thing, you turn up.
It's just an evening. Yeah, and now it'd be all right.
And actually, you get to take your kids to school. You probably, possibly even get to pick them up from school, depending on.
Oh, yeah, that'd
know.
Be great. Yeah.
So, like, actually, you get.
I think being an actor is amazing, isn't it? If you're working.
Yeah.
But then also, like, it's not really enough to provide for the family.
No, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know how people do it. I guess they just, they have, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. Is it a microphone?
So how has, because you lost your father quite young.
Yeah.
How did that, when you became a father, for me, definitely that totally informed my parenting and my feelings about my mom, who I, you know what I mean? How did that kind of manifest itself? You know, did you
lose your mum before?
Yeah, actually only about 2 years before I had my son. So it was very raw, and I kind of connect. Like, I can't really look at my kids without thinking in this kind of weirdly practical way. I sort of think to myself and think, well, I'm going to die. You're going to remember this moment as, you know, this is, oh, good. This is a good memory for you. You know, like, I can't get away from it. It's you know, in my head all the time. But I think that that's really helped me in some ways because I think it makes me, forces me to be present and enjoy the moment and enjoy it as it happens. But I also think, I mean, my son said a while ago, he said, just very casually, he said, it's Halloween, then it's Christmas, then we die. And I was like, oh, maybe I talk about this a bit too much. Like, maybe, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
so you mean you talk about it?
I do talk about it. I'm quite open about it. I talk about it. I want them to feel happy. You know, they only have one grandparent alive. So they kind
of. Yeah, and they feel that, don't they?
Yeah, they kind of ask lots of questions. So you sort of feel like you have to kind of answer that. Mm. But I just wonder whether, you know, whether you, has that squared a circle for you in terms of like being a father? Does that make you understand your grief, your father, more, or understand, you know, your father? You know, like, I feel like it makes it, there's a added bond to my mum, even though she's died, because I now can imagine how she felt sitting with me on her knee.
I do. And I do feel him sort of with me as a presence, you know, and I think it's a mental construct or whatever, but I do, or not, who knows, but I do definitely, you know, have that with me, and I feel it is a bit of a guide and a, you know, literally I imagine him help push me up the hill when I'm pushing the pushchair sometimes, you know, because we live up a massive fucking hill, like the worst hill ever,
need all the help,
double buggies and stuff. So I literally do use his, and my brother as well died last year, so that's, he's sort of, I mean, one thing when you're talking about death with the kids is really tricky. So we, so my wife's grandparents died quite soon after each other when Lucy was old enough to understand.
Yeah.
And then my brother died a year after that.
Yeah.
And then we said to her that they, and she loved him, you know, and she'd actually just a couple of months before spent quite a lot of time, we'd stayed with him a bit and stuff.
Yeah.
So we couldn't ignore it, you know, didn't know what to do. I mean, we're not religious. I mean, we're quite, you know, we're both quite sort of into meditation-y stuff and all that. So I think that side is...
That helps.
That kind of side, I think, for all the death has kind of been forced to open up a bit. Not that I'm sort of jumping on religion or anything, but I'm sort of just, you know, you sort of need, you sort of understand why it exists. But so we had to bring it up, you know, and that was the really... and it was... And I can't remember which one of us, I think it was me, and I do... We talk about it a lot, and is this the right thing? But we did say, we did talk about them going into the sky, and we, you know, we didn't say heaven or they're with angels or anything.
Yeah.
And I, in our minds, it was like, you know, we do kind of dissipate into, this is my understanding of science.
Yeah.
Into atom
become
things.
Yeah, we become stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, and it's a metaphor for them existing as memories and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it's sort of, you know, because Lucy's, and everyone says about the kids, but she's very astute and bright and sort of imaginative. And she's, them, I've seen her like sat on the bed singing, "Oh, people in the sky, what's it like in the sky?" And became fixated on it. And then you're like, oh, God, have we done a terrible thing here? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But she, you know, she came to my brother's funeral with me and got up with me when I was speaking.
Wow.
And held, you know, was hugging me.
Wow.
Which was, you know, the best thing, right? But so but that actually, having to come to terms with explaining how they understand it, or having to explain it to them, makes me think about what it is to die and other people to die, and to understand it and accept it, and also see, well, that is the way it is. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a point where you're like, well, why do they die? And it's like, well, that is just life. And,
You
know? And that has made me think that, and also has weirdly given me this spiritual awakening a bit.
Yeah.
But when I say that, I'm not saying I've found religion or anything, but they're just a kind of, they can be there for you and stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be this sort of brutal, look, the thing is, everyone dies and then they're gone.
And
that's
actually,
it.
Weirdly,
but at the same time, it doesn't have to be, oh, they're in, you know,
also,
heaven with all the angels.
Weirdly, children can grasp that very easily, much more easily than adults can. So, you know, if you say they're going into the sky or they're with you, but, you know, they're not physically here, but they're in everything you do, and, you know, with the, you know, children can go, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
In a way that if you're trying to explain that to an adult, they're like, well, hang on, how can you know, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, oh, you're sort of Richard Dawkins.
Exactly.
You know,
and you're just like,
I love
just
that
go
as well,
with it.
Like,
You know, that actually that's quite...
Yeah.
I don't know the word.
But in terms of my dad, it's definitely made me think about him and appreciate him more and what he did and what he did wrong, actually, really. Because he died when I was 25, and I sort of always... And he was very much the most sane member of the house, from what I understand, was very solid, you know, sort of serious bloke.
Yeah.
So I've always held him up quite high. Yeah. And it's not that's brought him down or anything, but I've kind of seen where, oh, he should have done more here. He could have done more here. He mainly to do with explaining and being there at certain times and kind of listening. And but, you know, he was, like, say, with actors, you know, I've just been complaining about doing a play. He was fucking getting up at six.
Yeah.
Driving to Ashby de la Zouche in the Midlands, then coming back at, you know, six and falling asleep on the chair watching telly.
Yeah.
Doing it again and hated it, you know, so.
God,
So you can't really blame him for that, but I can really see what I don't want to feel and experience. And you know, I've been away quite a bit with work recently and it's really hit me and I'm really like, especially when you go away and you come back and they've changed within two weeks or a week, different person, and you're just like, I don't want to miss any more of this.
No.
But I have to make money.
Like, but equally, it's getting the balance right.
That was interesting. But why don't we talk about something else now?
Like, in terms of your creativity, in terms of writing and characters and all that kind of thing, do you find that comes easier to you now, harder, or do you find, you know, having to sort of balance your time between looking after your kids and, you know...
One little thing I'd say is what has changed is maybe the sort of more youthful, slightly sneering side of comedy, where you're kind of... I find it harder to do characters where you're kind of taking the piss out of them.
Yes.
Because you can see, you can understand them, and you can see everyone's knackered and they say stupid things and have stupid thoughts, but that's because they're knackered.
Yeah. Yeah, and also it makes you more benign. You have a more I'm much gentler as a person.
Yeah,
having had kids.
Yeah, I'm not there like going, oh, I'll be this character who's like this. You know, he's like one of those blokes, or like, not that I was never really. I always tried to understand my characters, but but there was still. But I just that's why I kind of focus on one or two and just keep, you know, because I just don't really have the energy to just come up with.
Yeah.
At the minute, I don't know, maybe it's just where my brain's at, but but I think that's definitely changed. It's my looking at people, it's harder to just there's a different, it's a gentler way
of
thinking.
Totally.
Yeah.
How did you find going from one to two children?
Someone said something which maybe sounds a bit sexist, but when the first one's born, like, the mum gives up everything. This is obviously just when the second one's born, you both give up everything.
That's interesting. Yeah,
But it was, but you know, only, I guess it would have been the other way around if I was the house husband.
Yes,
you know,
But
I think it is the case that you both just fucking muck in, and it's family and all those. I always do, you know, in those programs like in American Horror Story, says it a lot, where he's like, I'm doing this for the family. So it's probably saying that as a joke, you know. But because it is suddenly, it's a unit.
Yeah.
It's not just, when it's one kid, it's like, oh, it's sort of almost like a romantic. It's the two
of you.
You
get breaks when there's one kid.
You've got your little daughter, you know, in our case. And you know, even though it was incredibly hard, but it's like, oh, it's lovely. And it's, you know, and the second one comes along, it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
There's no time. There's not a moment.
Constant.
There's, there's no time. And but all the time is great.
Yeah.
And I always say to Kat, like, I get to the end of the day and I'm like, I just want, you know, you just want them to be asleep so you can watch like 10 minutes of TV or whatever or something. But then, like, within 10 minutes, I'm like, I want them to wake up.
I'm exactly the same. Exactly the same, where you're like, oh God. And then finally, you know, you come downstairs and you're like, oh, they're asleep. And then I sit on the sofa and I think, I miss them. And I look through pictures of them on my phone.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's such a loser.
Or talk about them, what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Totally natural and stuff. It's like cliche, isn't it?
But it's sort of, there's something, I haven't quite defined it, but it's something a bit Stockholm syndrome-y about it.
Mm.
You know, where you're kind of like, on the one hand, you're kind of going, all I want is to be free and to have dinner with a friend or, you know, be able to go to the loo on my own or whatever, but like, give me that freedom. And I'm kind of going, oh, where's the little person who usually puts their head round the door, you know?
Yeah.
Because I,
because that's your whole world.
Because I love
it. I mean, that said, when I was filming the other day, I had to get an apartment of my own. Often, so I'd be going there and back sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
For 13 weeks, you know.
Because you're...
And it was incredible.
Oh, yeah, I bet. It was really funny. The first person I had on this podcast was Anna.
Crilly.
Yeah. And she talked about going to the Caribbean. Do you remember when she...
Yeah, she's deaf in Paradise.
Yeah, and she went for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And she was like, it was fucking amazing. Yeah. She was like, for about 2 minutes, I felt bad. And then she was like, and then I just had a holiday in the Caribbean. It was completely amazing. Yeah. It was really funny.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever given you advice that you look back on? Or have you noticed, you know, when people had... I feel like I'm more forgiving to people who... people who might have had kids and I thought, oh, God, why are you doing that? And now I think, oh, I totally know why you're doing that.
Or doing things.
Where, you know... But equally, there are people who, you know, used to say... I remember someone I knew very well who was 3 months pregnant and, you know, claimed that she basically couldn't get off the... You know, like, she couldn't do anything because she was pregnant and I didn't understand because I wasn't pregnant. And then by the time I was pregnant, 3 months pregnant, I was like, you can fucking do anything when you're 3 months pregnant. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're basically exactly the same. So it's quite useful sometimes to have that hindsight and to kind of go... and to go, no, I don't think that's right, or I don't think that's good advice. It's a very long, convoluted way of asking.
So is there any bad advice?
Is there anything that you look back on? Yeah, anything that you think, maybe that you read in a book or that someone told you. Often people talk about being on a bus and there's often a kind of old lady turning around and saying, oh, he hasn't got shoes on or whatever.
Mainly from family members.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't want to be too mean.
Yeah.
But which is just that kind of, well, they're all right when I, you know, to the point of things like, you know, well, I used to smoke all the time Which is just, you know, to go into that kind of boomer, okay, boomer thing, which I find very funny.
Yeah.
It is like, geez.
Yeah.
They've really did a number on us in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, just wow.
It's funny.
Some of the stuff.
Yeah.
I know people who said, like, you know, in the end we just shut the door on them and let them go to sleep. And we didn't do sleep training like that.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly tough, but Kat really didn't want to. And I heard some really upsetting stories from people who did. And more older people they were probably in their 60s, told us about a friend who did it and they just thought it was awful. You know, the kind of way you just cry
it's hard because I did do it,
right?
And it is.
I was like, and I've got, you know, friends who were like, do it, and I was like, let's just do it, let's just
do it. Yeah, because we need an out, but it's hard, it's both those things,
and I had to kind of respect that,
yeah, of course. But it's both those things, it's horrendous at first, which is why lots of people
did you do the full on cry it out thing,
not full on? We did a thing. We did a few different versions, but it was more like we did what's called slow retreat. You know, so we did that.
Oh, we did that.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Which is where you're kind of with them.
Yeah.
For a few minutes.
But equally.
And then you go to the door.
Yes.
And then the next
and
day.
And then, you know, you're touching them.
I mean, it didn't work at all with us.
Right. We had periods where it worked. And then what would happen is, you know, like, so it worked with my son and then he went in a big boy bed.
Mm.
And then it changed again because actually by that point I could sit on the bed and read him a story, which is more comfy for me. The amount of times I've fallen asleep doing that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
On the floor.
So he's got used to me sleep. So now, and he's got me totally wrapped around his finger. So he's, actually now I need to lie next to my son in bed for him to go to sleep. That is completely my own.
Oh, that's what it's like now, yeah.
Yeah, but that's my own making. I sort of wish I hadn't quite got myself into that.
Don't know. There are apps, you know, the meditation apps.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever tried those, but there's one called Insight Timer, which I'm well into, but they have ones for kids.
Really?
And you have to sort of check because there's one that's like, God is telling you to sleep, you know, because they're just people who are.
Yeah.
So you range from people who are very scientific about it to people who are full on, you know, being crazy about it. But there's quite a lot that are just like stories about the unicorn and he went to sleep and all that. And it's really working.
Really?
I've been trying that recently, yeah. I mean, Lucy's nearly five, so it's...
Yeah.
But actually, the biggest thing was when Harry was born, our second one, that before then she did not sleep at all. And she didn't at first, but once they were in the room together, that did it.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then she would just get in bed and go to sleep. And he was pretty good. I don't know whether she's trying to show her she could do it or what. Yeah. I don't know, but like,
I think there was a. I remember when my kids were very little and they shared a room when we were away, and I remember my son enjoying being the person who was older to kind of go, now this is what we've got to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a kind of, there's, well, that's what quite Lucy healthy. Does. Yeah,
like, now,
yeah.
Harry, I've told you about this before. She does things like that. I have said this before. I'm getting quite cross now. She just basically, he's her child.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah, so that was the best thing.
Yeah.
Sleep. But sleep is, really sleep is the only thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, everything else.
Having money.
Yeah, having money is key. But then that's kind of key to life
anyway, yeah. So really, it's, you just need a bit more money.
Money is key to life.
Yes.
You heard it here first. Yeah, yeah.
But sleep is the thing.
Yeah.
And everything else is great, really.
And
I mean, getting out the house, that is a pain in the arse.
Yes,
now.
Of course.
Now she's at school. Yes. And we're always like,
yes,
literally always. There's like, and we, funnily enough, probably not by coincidence, but they're like the people who have become my good friend. Our good friends are the ones who are always late.
Because you see them as you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, I just think we're probably very similar.
The same.
Type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And actually, this isn't a coincidence.
They're all creatives.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, like, yeah, 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 yeah.
One's a writer. Actually, one's a writer and one's a writer actor and one's a magician, you know. It's
that's
like
funny.
They're all the gang who after the bell running up the hill.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What advice would you give somebody who's just about to have a baby?
Oh, fuck. About to have a baby, definitely from my wife, I'd definitely say do hypnotherapy because that really helped her. Just the tapes.
Yeah.
The tapes.
That's quite...
You can get tapes
yeah,
again
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, hypnobirthing.
But whatever. You probably download it.
Yeah.
But hypnobirthing, yeah, really, because it's all about visualising pain and all that stuff. And I know it's quite arsey for a man to sit here and talk about how to deal with your pain, but you know, from what my wife said, that was the best thing, and the water birth thing. So in terms of, like, you know, I would say they're both great. And then it is that, you know, really you've got to both muck in, and if it's a kind of tradition, you know, if the man is the one, you've got to get involved as much as you can, like, because it will come back for everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you don't want to end up in a situation like we did a bit, you know, and that was a real eye-opener for me where you're not there enough.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you have to make... Because I think my panic was like... Which Kat had as well, you know, of like, fulfill our dreams because it's too late now, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, it's completely not the thing to do. I think the thing to do is just put everything into the baby.
Yeah.
And don't worry about...
And it will be
Worry, life is still there once they're 10 or whatever, you know?
So what do you mean about you?
As in,
you were like, quick, we've got to fulfill our dreams. What you mean when I was pregnant, it was like, let's get these ducks in a row kind of thing?
Well, yeah, like trying to like get, you know, in things, plays and stuff, and just doing everything. Like you're saying the opposite of what you said, like, as in going, no, I can't do that because of this. I'll do everything and anything.
Yes,
and
because I want to,
Yeah, because, you know, Yeah, and this sense, I think we both had a bit of that sense of like identity crisis, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you go, well, who am I? But you know, because now you're just a mother, and I think mothers, especially if they're the ones at home, get it probably a lot more.
Yeah,
because it's harder to get back from and all that. You know, shouldn't be, but that is in the way society is. It's you know, but I definitely think, if you can, try and put all that, both of you, you know.
Yeah.
Try and put all that to one side and enjoy it.
It will be okay.
You do get, and this is the thing that you hate people saying to you all the time, but you do get, like, years have gone by and you just cannot understand how.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And also it isn't, I think we see it so much and it's often depicted in things as being, like, having children is like the end of life.
Yeah, not genuinely, you know, it's like the beginning.
It really is
like the
course.
Turning 40 thing and all that.
And
I remember my dad having a card that was like, life begins at 40.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But it really is true.
Totally.
You know, if you embrace it, I think that's the key. I think you almost go for this teenager-y type anger that you're now here.
But it is like
after the joy of having the kid, you then have the sort of panic and but then you reach a nice place where you sort of and everything can get better.
Yeah, is that thing where I think often and probably especially as an actor, I mean I don't act anymore, but I think there's a lot, and with mothers often particularly, it's kind of going, I'm still the same, I've got the same body, I've got the same, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's like,
well,
actually, you're not. Mm. And it's okay to say, you now have this child that you actually do kind of want to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay to not, to be the same soul, but you're a parent now and you are different and that's okay too. It's a very weird thing where...
There's a thing in Narnia, I remember, where Susan doesn't come back in the last battle.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because she's... And Aslan, like, says it's because... Which, by the way, I've just read Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe to my daughter. And my son is a bit scared of the lion.
Because
we've seen the film as well.
Yes.
So whenever we say Aslan, because he sits and listens as well, we have to then... We say the sentence like Aslan arrived, and then you have to say it again, but with poop. So you have to go poop arrived, and then he's all right with it. Like, and if you don't, he goes no poop, and then you have to say it again and say poop. Oh yeah, poop declared that you know. But there's a line about not, and again, this is like an old man telling a young girl how to live her life, which is kind of disgusting. But it's always stuck with me that thing of like trying to be the age you're not. You know, and I don't mean that's a female thing, you know, it's men as well. And it's just, you know, not that you're getting rid of your youth and all that stuff, but there is so much more joy, I think, when you embrace it rather than fight it.
Yeah, and make
that
room
you are
for
in
it.
This new stage in your life. And, and it's a different,
and you embrace
you're a different
it,
person, you know.
And make room for that. I think there's that thing we... I've just been, before I was waiting for you to come in, I was editing Kerry Howard's episode, which is gone out by the time this comes out.
Wow.
But she was sort of saying about how modern parenting, we kind of want it all. We want to have the brunch. We want to have the, do you know what I mean? Like, we want to kind of, you know, have the time to ourselves, and we want to do all these amazing creative things with our kids. And we, do you know what I mean? It's like, there's a point where you just have to go, you can't do all those things.
Yeah.
And you've chosen to have a child, and, you know, come on. Like, I mean, for me, it's
enjoy that thing.
Yeah. And like, for me, I didn't have kids till I was 39. So I'd literally had pretty much 20 years of brunches.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, that is the one,
do you know what
to
mean?
Be honest, I remember because there was about a 10 year thing. After I turned 30, no, not quite 10 years, but there was a good 5 years where we kept, like, you know, after I'd started doing my solo shows and stuff.
Yeah.
It was all, and then just kind of, and I think after that, I wish I'd just had kids then because of what it brought to my life.
Yeah.
And actually, really, I was kind of treading water for quite a while because I was enjoying what I was doing, but it was like, hadn't gone to the next stage. And I actually think genuinely that the next stage was growing up.
Yeah.
And I think having the kids has made that the case, you know.
As I edited that and listened to it for the first time in a few weeks, I actually out loud went, oh, when he said that. Lovely, lovely Colin Holt. It was such a pleasure to speak to him. And do go and look up Anna Mann and see if she's playing near you, because it is one of the funniest nights you could possibly hope for. Next week, I will be speaking to Andy Nyman, who is a very accomplished actor who has been in lots of things, from Kick-Ass 2 to Peaky Blinders. He's been in lots of theatre, which is how I know him. He recently played Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof at the Many a Chocolate Factory and in the West End too. And he's also an incredibly talented magician who's collaborated a lot with Darren Brown. So beat that, because that's the point, obviously. In the meantime, if you in any way enjoy this podcast, it would be wonderful if you could rate and subscribe via iTunes. It just helps people who might not know about it find out about it. So please, please rate and subscribe and tell your friends if you think that's wise. Thank you very much for listening, and speak to you next time.
Bye-bye.